Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Yes, a couple hours here. And our friend Drek's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. You know, about 25 minutes from now. At 12:30, we hook up live with Canada in the late shift. I always like our conversations. Really enjoy that. But first, another great presentation coming up. Another great presentation coming up this week at the Missouri History Museum inside their Lee Auditorium on Tuesday. Joining us now to talk about it, Johnny Rabbit. Thanks for coming back.
Ryan Recker, it is my pleasure, it is my honor, and I thank you for doing this. And you do it for us all the time. The people at the History Museum that come there always talk about hearing it on your show. People stay up, well, you're not as late as you used to be, though. Now Overnight America has become early Overnight America. What are your actual hours now?
It's overnight somewhere, I guess. So now with the Cardinals being in the offseason, I start at 8 o'clock, so they still do... sports open line for 2 hours between 6 and 8, and then I start at 8 o'clock. Now there are some conflicts here and there, but still mostly 8 o'clock start. But you know that's going to change here in a few months. They're going to spring training's going to start, and by March they're going to be playing again. So it's here. So, but either way, I like the earlier hours. I enjoy starting at 8. The traffic's a lot crazier trying to drive in earlier in the day than not. St. Louis still has some pretty crazy traffic anytime during the day. Like, I was out last night. My wife and I had one of our rare date nights, and still the interstates were packed at, like, you know, 6 or 7 on a Saturday. So,
my goodness.
Yeah, couldn't believe it. But you have a presentation at the History Museum, and it's coming up on Tuesday morning.
Tuesday. Here it is.
Landmarks of St. Louis. How exciting. This is a cool idea.
Well, thank you. Well, there are so many landmarks, and a lot of people have different perspectives of what is a landmark. Not going to be the only one there. This is a free program. The doors open to the Lee Auditorium, which is the lower level of the History Museum, at 10 a.m. First half hour, though, will be our friend from the station, Clint Hussey, who's a really, really good musician and singer. He's going to do a half hour of music, including some holiday hits, so to speak. And then we'll start the program. I'll start it off with things that aren't around anymore. Dating back to the first image I have will be of an estate called Athlone. It was John O'Fallon, a really big mover and shaker from the 19th century. It was his great three-story home. It's where O'Fallon Park is today. He donated that ground to the park. We'll also have pictures and little stories about things like Fairground Park. Fairground Park there at Natural Bridge and Grand had a lot of stuff there. It was the first zoo was located there, but our pictures will be about the automobile racetrack that was there in those days. And it was a big deal. So these are just a few of the things that I'm going to talk about. We'll have other things that are no more. Or in one case, there is something we'll talk about that has been moved. It's the Confederate Monument moved out of Forest Park. We'll see the Moon Motor Car Company building and a whole bunch of those cars. We'll see some other mansions, and we'll see some businesses of various types. Plus, not just me, we'll have Chris Knopsiger, who's a great historian and educator in St. Louis, and he's going to talk about African-American-related landmarks in St. Louis, a very overlooked subject. I mean, this could be things from Annie Malone's Poro College to houses where Chuck Berry lived or Josephine Baker lived. And then Jamie Barassa, she's with the Missouri Historical Society. That's the big building over in Skinker. She's co-written a book called Scenes of Historic Wonder in St. Louis. She'll cover some of that. She'll also do a book signing after the program at noon to 12:30, and also Clint Hussey will be signing his album. It's actually a vinyl 12-inch album. When Laura Peters from the Muni certainly a great landmark in St. Louis. It's going to really give us a preview of what's next as far as the redevelopment and reconstruction of the Muni. We'll have John Gunther. John is an architect, architectural historian. Mm-hmm. He'll kind of cover us in places like the St. Louis Theater, which is now Powell Hall, mm-hmm. Where we're going to have the holiday radio show next Monday.
Yeah.
The Sheldon Concert Hall, our original home of the second home of the Ethical Society in St. Louis. So it was built in 1912. He'll talk about the Pulitzer Foundation for the Arts building there, just west of that. Of the Sheldon, and the Shanley Building, which is a 1930s modern building that's probably not going to make it. Now, because somebody wants to build a big apartment building where the Shanley is. Shanley is just a very small building, but historically significant. And Andrew Wild, since we're talking about landmarks, we have to have Andrew. Andrew is the executive director of Landmarks Association. He often talks about endangered places, endangered landmarks or buildings. This time he's going to talk about places that have been saved or are in the process of being saved. So that really covers the program. And we cover things from the Parkmore to the Castleman McKay Mansion, which is no more, next to the big Masonic Temple at Spring and Lindell, various restaurants in St. Louis. And the big Standard Oil sign. Now that's the one at Clayton and Skinker, mm-hmm. right where that intersection meets. You can see it if you're going west on Highway 40. It's an Amoco sign now, an oval shaped sign that they really did that last week.
Yeah, the ones they've been repainting. Yeah, working on.
Yeah, but this one we will cover the real one, the standard one, which is a round sign, which was just truly gigantic and just. Oh, my gosh, thousands and thousands of light bulbs were in it. Oh, wow. So these are the types of landmarks that we're going to talk about on Tuesday morning.
Wow, and this is all at the History Museum. Doors open at 10. Presentation starts at 10:30 Tuesday morning. Lee Auditorium inside the Missouri History Museum. It's a free event, which is awesome. And parking, you can just park on Lindell. If you can find a spot around the History Museum, it's free right there. So, again, all you got to do is just really anticipate having a good time and enjoying the presentation. Do you know who Nene Harris is?
Oh, yeah, of course. She's a good writer. She especially writes. Well, she's written about downtown St. Louis, the big book. Most of her writing has been about the brickwork of St. Louis, Carondelet neighborhood. She regularly appears at the Carondelet Historical Society with some of her works.
I just had her on the show this past week to talk about.
Oh, she's great.
Second edition Downtown St. Louis is out. Yep. So many great historical landmarks included in that one as well. It's really
you know why
neat.
They have the second edition? Did she tell you?
No.
The first one burned up in the Reedy Press fire.
No, really?
Yeah. Oh, they lost some. Thank goodness for them having insurance, because how many thousands of different books and titles? Many will never be reprinted again. But hers is a very valuable thing to look at downtown St. Louis through what she has seen through the years. A wonderful person.
Well, one more time. It's at the History Museum in Forest Park. It's starting at 10:30. Doors open at 10 o'clock. Parking's right there. Landmarks of St. Louis. Johnny Rabbit, thank you so much for coming on and talking about it on Overnight America.
Ryan, thank you, and I'll see you at the Holiday Radio Show.
Oh, I can't believe that's around the corner. Wow. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line on KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Sometimes I feel the world's backwards all the time. I gotta essentially walk backwards in order to figure out what's up and down, what's left and right anymore. It's just everything's nuts. So there's one quick thing. I'll bring this up in a moment. Someone's got a new star on the Walk of Fame. I don't understand this one bit. I really don't get it. It goes to show you money can truly buy anything. Doug, hi. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, Ryan, been listening to you here. I told you you're a screener. I had two things to say. Number one, John Lennon's death anniversary. Mm-hmm. I know exactly where I was when that happened. I was in a recording studio that night.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
There used to be a recording studio in Earth City. It was called KBK Recording.
Okay.
And I was in there with a Christian band. We were doing an album. And we were recording, and you know, we came into the control booth for, you know, playback. And the guy who was doing the engineering is like, hey, you guys aren't going to believe this. And we're like, what? He told us the whole thing. Like, no way. Yeah. And then, of course, the next day, all the news was unfolding and, you know, we found out what was going on. But, man, oh, man, that was really something. That was
wow. So was really your engineer watching Monday Night Football?
No, I don't think so. I think he was. I think what happened was by that time, it was this was about, I want to say it was about 10:30 or so our time. So it would have been 11:30 Eastern time.
Yeah.
Which by then it would have broken, you know, across the networks, I'm sure.
Sure.
But he had it somehow. Of course, there was no internet back then.
You rely on it. And I've seen a bunch of people post audio of what different radio stations were doing when that news broke. I remember talking to the personality that was on the air at the former station I used to work at, and he said that all the albums were, like, locked up, so he had to call the program director because all the, you know, the giant... because it was like one of those top 40. They played a bunch of like pop hit songs, but you know, back in 1980, it's kind of not. But either way, so whatever the popular music was at the time, they were playing that type of music. Well, all the archive things were locked up in a locker somewhere, so he couldn't get to any of the Beatles stuff. And he's thinking to himself, "You got to be kidding me! You know, I'm live. I'm tonight. I can't play any John Lennon songs." So he frantically calls the program director of the radio station to get up there and unlock it. And eventually they did.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, because nobody wants to hear Blondie at that point.
No, so, no Blondie. No, none of that. Get out of here. Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear some John Lennon, some Beatles stuff. But the other thing I was going to say was I listened to those school stories that you shared.
Yeah.
And all I can say is to the general listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, you wonder why people drop out of teaching.
Oh, yeah.
This is exactly why, because when I was the last school I was at, we had a kid that would come into the library or whenever he came into anybody's class, you never knew what he was going to do.
Yeah.
This kid could just go off like a cannon, and it was normal procedure for him to come into the library, and all of a sudden, you know, the rest of the kids that are in there in his class, they had to be evacuated from the library because he's taking books off the shelves and throwing them.
Wow. Man.
And guess who got blamed for it?
Who's that?
The librarian.
Oh, man. Well.
You have no control. See, this is what they do. They tie your hands. It's like policemen. Your hands are tied. And what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. You know,
it's amazing to me.
I'm looking at the, I just had to hop online real quick because I was curious about this. And I'm trying to figure out what the top song on the radio was on December 8th, 1980. I'm trying to find for top 40 singles. Here we go. Because this is what it would have been playing on the radio the night of John Lennon's death. All right, so Lady by Kenny Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
More Than I Can Say by Leo Sayer. Another one, Bites the Dust by Queen. Woman in Love by Barbara Streisand. Master Blaster by Stevie Wonder. Starting Over by John Lennon was on the top tracks. Well, he was recording that new album. In fact, the Wheels song that I played wasn't released until after his death. Wheels. What a great tune. Love on the Rocks by Neil Diamond. Hungry Heart by Bruce Springsteen. I'm Coming Up by Diana Ross. Oh, come on. Diana Ross. And Cliff Richard's Dreaming was on there, too. Wow, that's the top 10 songs. So those are the songs you would have heard the night John Lennon's passing. Oh, man.
Yeah, isn't that something? That's amazing to think about that.
That really is. Watching the Wheels is such a great tune. I forgot about that song.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a real good one. That's very good.
Yeah, he was really recording. And the more I listened to some of the Beatles songs over the weekend, you just realize just how creative and inventive they were. Over the years, they did some really cool things for their time.
Oh, I can tell you as a musician and a music person, and even in fact, Donna and I were just talking about this last night about just how creative these people are and how they were all able to reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
After the group broke up, you know, it's and so many people just jumped on this bandwagon of, oh, McCartney's a bad guy because he went out and, you know, did his own thing. No, that wasn't it. The Beatles were no more.
Yeah.
So when the Beatles are no, when the group is no more, the option is you have two options. You can sit back and rest on your laurels, or you can get up and do something else.
Yeah.
And And McCartney decided he wasn't going to do that. Well, of course, John Lennon didn't either, neither did George or Ringo.
Yeah.
But undoubtedly, in my opinion anyway, McCartney was the most prolific of the group as far as, you know, after the Beatles. But
yeah, you know, that's pretty unique. How many other bands can you name where even the drummer had hit songs after they broke up, you know? Doesn't happen.
No kidding. Isn't that the truth?
I can name one other band where the drummer was still popular after the band broke up, and that was after Nirvana went together. The Foo Fighters guy, the Dave Grohl, went and started, you know, and that it's a very popular rock band. So that's the only other band I can think of that where the drummer was actually popular. Or Phil Collins, maybe.
You're probably right about that.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Was Phil Collins, he did his solo stuff, and he was drummer, right?
Oh, yeah, he was a drummer for sure.
It's only so there's three in the history of time. All right, well, hey.
There have been a lot of guys that have been drummers that are very famous people. I'll tell you one that was very famous that was going way, way back. The guy who wrote the Christmas song, Mel Torme, he was a drummer. And as I understand it, and even you probably just check with Johnny Rabbit on this one to make sure I'm right, but I believe that Mel Torme used to play drums at the Fox Theater many years ago when they had live, you know, musicians there.
Oh, that's cool. All right, Doug, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
You bet. Listen to you, man. Talk to you soon.
Have a good night. Bye-bye. That's our friend Doug. Excellent, excellent, excellent musician. All right, our friend Drex in Canada, The Late Shift. We're going to hook up with him next. Don't go anywhere. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Every Sunday night, we hook up with our friend Drex down in Canada here. Let's see if he's there. Drex, how are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good. I just smashed my finger on our microphone arm in the studio. Man, ever do that?
No. Because I pay attention to what's going on around me while I'm doing my job.
I'm trying to move this arm, and it's one of those long extended arms, and I extended it, and the thing just smashed on my finger right before we were going on.
You know what I did once? I don't know what sort of mic booms you have in your studio, but back before they had these fancy, expensive Mika booms that most radio stations have now, we had those metal things that would have those four springs on them.
Oh, that's the one we use here. We don't use the fancy ones here.
Yeah, I got the webbing between my thumb and my index finger caught in one of those springs once when I was moving a microphone.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and there were so many expletives. Luckily, we weren't live and the microphone wasn't hot, so we're good. Yikes. How are you, man? I haven't spoken to you since before the American Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, that's right. Yes, doing pretty well. Did some traveling. I think things are doing pretty good. I'm getting close to the end of the year, so I got some more vacation time, so I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, do you eat like when you have the big Thanksgiving dinner, do you ever have the Brussels sprouts?
Oh, no. I don't think I've ever seen that presented at a Thanksgiving meal.
Have you ever eaten them, though?
I don't know. I can't say
I
have.
You don't know? Oh, yeah. Interesting.
What do they taste like?
Oh, well, they taste like a vegetable.
Yeah.
Do you eat a lot of vegetables? I get a sense that you don't eat a lot of vegetables.
Well, the answer would be no, I don't eat vegetables, but I'm married and my wife cooks, so she's the one that handles all my dietary choices, which includes vegetables.
She forces you to eat vegetables.
Yeah, pretty much.
What you're saying, if Ryan Recker was still single, it'd be like, hey, White Castle, let's do this.
Exactly. It would be like chicken wings every night, barbecue sauce and everything.
The reason I ask about Brussels sprouts is because I only found out tonight it is the vegetable is called Brussels sprouts, not Brussels sprouts.
Oh, is that right?
It's got an S on the end because it's named after the city of Brussels.
Yeah, so does your significant other always call you out when you say things the wrong way?
Yeah, I like it when people call me out for saying things the wrong way, though, because I don't want to say them the wrong way. So I'm more than happy when people correct me. Same as if I'm on air and I'm having a conversation with another radio DJ and they say a word and I don't understand it. I'm like, what does that word even mean?
Oh. My wife always calls me out. She says, you know, that's not a word. I normally make words up. And she's like, you know, you're putting two words together. That's not technically a word. And I've been saying things wrong my entire life.
Like, what's one of your apparent made-up Ryan Recker words?
You know, I don't even know I'm doing it. It just happens. I can't think of any. And I'm sure I've done it about eight times tonight already.
I think we all do that, don't we? You know what they say, the best advice is never take everyone's pure advice, is take the best bits from best bits of each advice.
That's
the same with words. You take the best bit of that word and the best bit of that word, just smash it together, make a new word.
Well, did you graduate high school in Australia?
Many think I didn't, but I did.
Okay. Did you, this something we do here, I don't know if this is just universal at all high schools, but did you have a senior quote that they would print in the yearbook?
Yeah, I think we all had to provide one. I don't even remember what mine was.
Huh. So you just picked a random quote and went with it?
Yeah, I think I just probably found something on the internet and gave it to them. Because I graduated in 97, so.
Because what you basically said was something that a high school kid would publish in the end of a yearbook. They would give an advice, take the best advice in bits. That's a good high school yearbook quote.
Here's a great quote for you. This is from my dad. You ready for this?
Sure, yeah.
And this relates directly to you. And I think I've told you this before. You should always spend a little bit money on your bed or your shoes, because you're either in one or in the other. Right? That's my dad's advice. Always spend a little bit more money on your bed or your shoes, because you're either in one or in the other. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of the other, shoes, you got a new pair.
Yay! But they have to go back. They don't fit. So I'm cheap, of course. So this was the weekend to go online shop, and I found a pair of shoes that looked nice. And I decided to purchase them. Well, and my wife did. But she decided to purchase them in the right size. They just didn't fit right. I got these wide, fat feet, and buying them online, you don't know if they're going to be comfortable or not. They weren't comfortable, so I got to send them back. So I don't have new shoes.
So you're just back to the holy rollers that you got rocking, or what?
Yeah, exactly. These things.
Oh, dude.
You know what happened the other day was I stepped. So it was rainy during Thanksgiving, and we're doing this long drive up to the family's house. And so I go up there, and I have to, during this gas up stops, let the dog out, see if the dog's got to go, you know, potty or whatever. And it was rainy, and I had to go into the grass area to let the dog go, and my socks got wet because I got all the holes in the shoes.
Hang on, you drove from Missouri to Michigan,
right?
And you know it's going to be wet. It's likely going to be a lot of snow along the way as well. I know there was probably on the way back for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you still wore the holy shoes, because even though it's like in the middle of winter there in the States, what are you doing with yourself?
Because it's the only shoes I own. Again, I did purchase new shoes thinking it was about time. They just didn't fit right. So maybe by the end of the year, I'll find a pair of shoes I like. And I ended up buying these Reebok shoes because they did the throwback to the 90s. Remember the last time we spoke about the pump shoes and things like that?
Uh-huh.
Well, and Google and Facebook and all of them must have been listening, because all of my ads were throwback retro shoes online. So I saw the sale prices for these throwback retro shoes from Reebok, and I'm like, yes, please. I found one, ordered them, and they just didn't fit right.
Right, so you send them back, they're going to send you a new size, or what's the story?
I don't think they have wide in what they had online. So we bought them off of Amazon through the Reebok store on there. So we can just, here, I don't know if you can do that up there too, but you can walk into a Kohl's and return Amazon packages.
Oh, that's kind of handy, isn't it?
Oh, it's awesome.
It sounds like you need to get yourself a pair of New Balance or something like that.
I do. I like New Balance because they get made fun of a lot for being like the dad shoes. That's the type of shoe I need.
Well, you can buy New Balance that don't look like dad shoes. I call them the nurse special, right? Because nurses are on their feet 24 hours a day in our hospitals right across North America, and they need something comfortable, right? But you can get cool looking New Balance that are for wide feet like yours.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I would almost want to get the dad shoes, mostly because I feel like it just feels like that's the stage of life I'm in right now.
Wow,
I need the
dad
shoes.
You've given up. Are you going to start wearing Kirkland brand jeans from Costco as well?
Well, it's not about giving up. It's about realizing you're part of that club now, and you need to be able to represent to the other people in the club. Like, some people have special handshakes. We wear New Balance shoes and Kirkland jeans.
You need to join the club that me, Bobby, and Matt are a part of, which is the Dull Men's Club.
Oh, I love that idea. So tell me more about it.
So it's a few guys in the UK. I think there's a few members in the United States of America as well. And they're just guys that like dull things. Like I like collecting pencils. Some people find that dull.
Interesting. I love the idea. So yeah. It doesn't have to be about collection per se. It just about
it could just be you know maybe you're interested in something that is quite dull when you're not at work. Maybe hypothetically you like cutting out obituaries out of the local newspaper. That's quite dull. And that's okay.
Great idea. Maybe that's going to be the next. Do people do that? Collect obituaries?
Oh yeah, people do that.
Oh wow!
There's an entire department of the New York Times just to write obituaries for people.
Oh, is that so?
I'm sure if you asked your news director there at KMOX, because I've asked our news director here, they actually occasionally will add things to people's obituaries before they die. So if something significant happens, they'll go into the file. So obviously, you know, most American newsrooms would have obituaries ready to go for all of the living presidents.
Yeah, most, of course.
And if anything happens to them, like, for example, Jimmy Carter the last couple of months here has had some health issues, they would likely add that to part of his obituary. So when Mr. Carter does finally die, they have all of that current information there. I didn't even realize that they keep obituaries updated.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've done that in the past. You're right, with the former presidents, that you would have to keep that, because when that news breaks, I mean, it's wall-to-wall coverage, you know, a president died.
Yeah.
And it's pretty common, too, that newsrooms mess up and they'll accidentally publish it early. And you've seen those, too, where people will, you know, Fox News or CNN or whatever it is, they'll post an obituary up on in the screen of it when none of that actually happened yet, but they're preparing it in the background and someone accidentally got a little bit too involved.
Well, I remember when Aretha Franklin died, I can't remember which cable channel in the States, they put up a picture of Patti LaBelle.
Oh, no.
They got that real wrong.
Yeah, and then there was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a Supreme Court justice here, was someone that they accidentally put the wrong graphic up. And, that's pretty embarrassing when those things happen. Absolutely embarrassing. But it's totally understandable. You get it because you know that you're working these things because you got to have the information ready. You don't want to start from scratch knowing that the inevitable is going to happen at some point when they get up there in age.
You got to have something historical ready to go. Hey, I've been meaning to ask you as well, you're a new dog dad. How is that working out for you?
Oh, my dog has been great. So 2-year-old, we don't exactly know. It's like a mutt, so a pit bull mix type of deal. And
she's, pizza.
Yeah, she's been great. She's been, when you adopt from a shelter, a lot of times the people at the shelter really don't know what they have because, you know, the behaviors of a dog inside of a cage at a shelter is a lot different than the way the dog will behave at the house. But they'll get a pretty good feel for what the dog's like just based on the experience. So some of the things they didn't know is the dog house trained. You know, how's the dog with social situations, things like that. Didn't know all those questions. So we took the dog home. She was a super sweet dog. She tried jumping on the furniture and the beds and things, but, you know, we taught her you can't do that, which is good. Hasn't had any accidents inside the house, which is huge. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah.
Crate trained, too, which is excellent. So this dog had some training. Yeah. This dog's been a really great addition. Really love it.
How was the road trip? I know that you were worried about the dog on the long road trip.
Yeah, the dog just... let me tell you what this dog would do. This is such a weird thing. So we have, like, this plastic crate going to the family's houses. We just didn't want the dog to free reign our parents' houses when we weren't there, if we're going out or whatever it is. So right. I have this plastic crate that you put together, and I put a bed in the plastic crate, and that's what we put in the very back of our SUV. So the dog can sleep in this crate, it has its own space, and then next to it will be like our, you know, suitcases and things like that. So I also have this giant sleeping bed. It's like a round sleeping bed for the bedroom, and I had to put that on top of our luggage. So you have the crate with the dog bed, and then our luggage, and on top of that is this other bed, nearly at the ceiling of the SUV. Well, the dog thought of that was a challenge to perch itself on top of all of our luggage, and it was basically awesome. Its head's bumping the top of the SUV, but that's where it wanted to lay. So it felt like it had almost two living areas in the back of this SUV, and it enjoyed itself. It did a pretty good job.
Well, you know why she was up there? Because she wanted to see all three of you.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's why. She wanted to see you guys, because she could probably hear you talking and driving, so she probably wanted a bit of a view and to see mom and dad doing their thing.
You have a dog, don't you?
I got two dogs.
Oh, that's awesome. What are their names?
Rocco and Andy.
That's pretty good names, Rocco and Andy.
Andy's evil, though. He's he's 4 pounds of tremble and anger. He's a chihuahua.
Barks a lot?
Oh, yeah. I don't need a security system. Who needs a Ring doorbell when you've got a chihuahua?
K Can you sleep at night, or will the dog bark at night?
Oh no, the dog's good at night. Once I put him in the crate, cover him up, he's out for the evening.
Goes oh,
straight
cool.
to sleep, stays asleep. Yeah,
yeah, we're lucky with that too. So we got the bed. The dog sleeps in our bedroom and sleeps all night, which is excellent. Doesn't get up pace or do anything. So we're very grateful for that.
How's he getting along with your kid though? Is that working out good?
Yeah, they've been playing like crazy. So they got
there
this
go,
tennis ball game. So the dog loves tennis balls. So we have a couple of tennis balls. So basically, we'll go fetch the ball, bring it back, and my kid will have another tennis ball, which he'll throw, and then she'll drop the ball and go for the new one, and they'll do uh-huh. that for a long time. And he's loving it. They'll play, and they get along really well.
You'll get sick of it soon enough. I usually have a bucket of balls for the dog, just so I always have fresh ones, because, man, those dogs drool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much?
I like a lot.
Yeah.
Especially when they're chasing balls, though, right?
So do you have, like, a handkerchief or something that you would, like, wipe the drool?
I have a dog towel. I have a towel that I wipe the dogs down with, so they're not all gross and dirty in my house.
The dog towel.
Yeah, and then I just throw it in the wash.
What else do you use the dog towel for?
Just for the dogs.
Like, but you wipe their feet?
Yeah, if they go out in the snow or the rain and do their business, they come back in the house, they get wiped down straight away.
I do that too, and I thought I was the only one to do that.
No, everyone does that.
I've never seen anyone else to do it. I thought I was the only one.
Because those other people, Ryan, are lazy. That's what it is.
Yeah, I don't want the dog tracking in all the dirt and stuff inside the house. I don't need that.
Yeah, you got humans to do that instead.
Yeah, and think about what the dog's doing business out there. I don't want them tracking that in, too. You just wipe the legs, the feet down. You do it.
Yeah, dogs are pretty good at not stepping in their own business, though. So, I think you're good there.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to hear that you do that. I don't know why it would bother me. It doesn't, but I thought no one else did it, so this is a relief.
It's because you're a new dog dad. That's why.
Well, no, I had another dog before this, of course. You know, I had another dog. Well, he turned 13, and I had 9 years. I had another dog.
Right. Well, yeah. So you're learning some new things about this dog and remembering old things from the old dog. That's awesome, though. It's good. The more pets around the family home, the better, I say.
Oh, so you're about to get a kennel license. So you would pack the house with dogs?
No. We might get a third. They're both small dogs, so we could probably have a third.
Is this something that will actually happen, or is this just something you fantasize about?
It's something I fantasize about and something that the other half says, nope, that's not happening. And I'm like,
all right,
well,
so does the other half ground you to all these ideas? Do you normally find that if it wasn't for the other half, you would be just like completely just dogs everywhere?
Yeah, I'd probably have about 6 dogs if I was still single.
Wow. So you'd be like Caesar Milan with like the pack leader. You'd have this like this farm with all the dogs and stuff.
I can't stand Caesar. I don't think the way he trains dogs is the best way to do it.
Really? I love Caesar. Yeah. What don't you like about him?
I just don't like the way I don't think that's I don't think that works with dogs.
No.
I just don't.
I tried that on my wife. It didn't work.
No, you can't be doing the stuff like that.
Oh, I know, but they don't give that disclaimer. They make it look like it's just universal, but I should have known better.
Are you click training your kid? You should. See how that works.
Yeah, I try to do the snapping once in a while. It doesn't work either. None of that stuff works.
Yeah, you're gonna get in trouble if you keep doing that.
I feel like I get no respect in the house. Maybe it's just I'm training the wrong way. Maybe if I withhold all funds from them, you know, no more buying gifts or toys and all that, then
what
they'll start listening
to me.
What
is it with you? The thrifty one in the family won't even buy himself a new pair of shoes. Good heavens. Ryan, I got to run.
Good to hear from you, Drex. Thank you for doing this.
Let's chat next week, okay?
Let's do it.
All right, there you go. That is Ryan Recker from KU.
Drex, he's doing the late shift. And I even forgot, I was going to tell him. Congratulations. He posts about the ratings. He's the most listened to guy at night in Canada. That's the legendary Drex now. The number one most listened to night personality in Canada. I was going to congratulate him for that. I forgot to write that down. Why is it always too late? I'll message him on Twitter. I have a great we do that on Sundays, by the way. And if you want to go back and listen to any of our other conversations, you can find it at KMOX.com/ONA.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
A couple of car stores for you, stories for you. This first one's a little absurd, but it goes to show you if you got enough lobbying money, you can buy pretty much anything, including a star on the Walk of Fame. So they have musicians, actors, directors, producers, fictional characters like Mickey Mouse. Now they have a car. The Chevy Suburban SUV has its own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Honestly, how much money did they have to bribe the people there to make that happen? This is... Why would you put a car? Why? Oh, come on now. I mean, pretty much couldn't every single car manufacturer do exactly the same thing as if they only use Chevys inside of vehicles? So is the DeLorean going to go on there for Back to the Future? You know, how many is Ford going to have to go on there? Because they're, I mean, every single car manufacturer is in a movie. So thus, does everyone get a star on the Walk of Fame? This is so ridiculously stupid. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Here's one other car story for you. And coming up in the next hour, some sports news for you. As you heard, former Redbirds catcher Ted Simmons getting into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. It's such a really cool thing. Paul Redd said a few things about the NHL, including the Blues, that's worth repeating. So this one was from CNET. There's a blogger that posted a video. His name is Raj, Tesla Raj. Very excited about this Tesla pickup truck. It's a pretty big deal, man. This Tesla electric truck stands 75 inches tall and 231.7 inches long. They said pretty compatible to the standard Ford F-150. What he decided to do was go into his garage and say, well, will this Tesla vehicle actually fit in my garage? And after they do the measurements, they decided no. So he decided to look up online, what does an average garage look like? I mean, how big is an average garage? And the answer is not big enough to fit this Tesla truck. So it's not going to be a sole problem with the Tesla Cybertruck. Many of Americans, however, will have issues with this. Most of them could fit their smaller trucks and SUVs in there, but when you get full-size things like you would get with this Tesla truck, apparently, this is on the rise. This is from the Free Press in Detroit. People are spending $3,000 to $12,000 in order to enlarge their garage to fit their car. I didn't know that was a luxury thing people would decide to do. But then again, I totally understand. If you want the big car and you got the money and you're not afraid to spend it, you make the garage bigger so it fits, so you don't have to leave it out in the driveway. You know, 8-foot garages quickly replace the standard 7-foot ones in order to make something like this work. Totally understand it. You know, I don't know what you expected with this. This is a pretty big truck. But when you see the videos of this, it doesn't look as big because of its design and the way it looks. It looks low to the ground and large, but not as large as an F-150, but I guess it is. All right, another hour of Overnight America coming up next on KMOX. I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.